spending eternity staring off into the distance. And I'm speaking of the stars, if I may be specific. Do you remember the one that shone brightest on Christmas, before you and I ever had a wish list? There in the sky glowed a star that spoke volumes to all that would listen. Listen to the cries of the infant whose conception was immaculate. Before there were any bows or shiny wrap packages, was a gift that was and still is providing us with the miraculous. Before you and I were ever conceived, God gave a gift to whomever would believe. Tell me, what do you see when you look into the stars? Is it just the gaseous flame, or could it be love reflecting in the dark? Is it tiny rays of light or God-inspired art, a reminder of his exhaled power before time began its start? And under these stars lay this unexpected gift, tiny balled-up fists and little baby kicks. And in his heart, right at the centre of it, was a place carved out where you and I would forever exist. A miracle, but more importantly, a gift. Yes, he did heal the sick. And yes, he did raise the dead. Yes, he did feed 5,000 with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. But was it not a miracle this morning when you got up out of bed? Or how about your neighbour who's alive when the doctors told them that they'd be dead? Or the fact the person sitting next to you has prayed and he has heard every word that they have said. For some of you it was a miracle when your child called you on the phone. Yet for others it was a gift when you walked through the door and said, "Surprise, I'm home." See, life offers us these unexpected gifts that are unexpected. Like when you were stressed beyond belief and his peace interjected. Some of us have been broken beyond belief and way beyond desperate, and the gift of his hope gives us a whole new perspective. For some of us, we have felt so rejected, but his love reminds us we're always accepted. Doesn't that make you smile? Doesn't that bring you joy? See, life's most unexpected gift came in the form of a boy. It wasn't what they had known, so far from what they predicted, not quite what they depicted. But what do you know? For under the stars below, in the arms of a virgin, lay peace, love, and hope that would soon grow and grow and grow. But as for now, his mother sang, and off to sleep slowly he drifted. And life's most unexpected gift had officially been gifted.
Thank you. Sharing in this month of special Christmas celebrations, and it's Christmas time again. Seems like this Christmas is coming around every year just like birthdays. Wait a minute. It is a birthday celebration. The most important birthday celebration that there could ever be. Yes. For the most important man that was ever born, our Lord and our Savior.
That's right.
And a lot of times we hear the phrase, "Are you ready for Christmas?" And what does that mean, to get ready for Christmas? Does it mean having the tree up and the house decorated? Well, if that's what it means, I'm ready. But there's more to Christmas than just the presents and the tree and the lights. And I like all of those. And I'm not one of those that are kicking against that. I think God loves love and joy and lights and singing. But God wants to give again. We're calling this God's complete gift for you, today's celebration. And he has something, I believe, that he wants to give to you today. And so we're going to look into the scripture. And Lord, I pray that you yourself would use me and use these words. Cause your anointing to flow. Give us revelation. And show us what you want to do in our lives to take us to the next stage of our development in you.
That's right.
We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God's complete gift for you. You know, when we think of the Bible, which gives us the story of Jesus, and it opens up in Genesis chapter 1, where that God created man and woman. He created man after man's image and after his likeness, because God wanted to be able to relate to us, not as something dissimilar to himself, like an animal, but something similar to himself. So he created us in his image and in his likeness. And then, from that beginning in chapter 1, when you skip to the end of the Bible, in Revelation chapter 21, this is the first verse that we're going to look at. We look at God's prophetic end of how this whole thing is going to finish out. So I'm going to read Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. I think they're going to put these up on the board for us, so you can follow along. Verse 1. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. This isn't permanent, what we've got here now. Something better is coming. And there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I mean, the best is yet to come. Yeah. We haven't had the marriage of the church to Jesus, the bridegroom, yet. The best is yet to come. Yeah. Verse 3, I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. In my Bible, I wrote, the day God moved heaven to earth. Because we're going to live with him forever. Heaven isn't a place. Heaven is where God has his throne set up, where he lives. And he's going to come and make his abode on earth. Verse 4, and God will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, sorrow, or crying. There will be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Verse 5, then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And then the next few verses, if you continue to read in that chapter, gives a beautiful description of the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven on this new earth that God has created. For sake of time, we won't read it, but it's always a thrill when I read those verses. But we're going to pick up with verse 22. But I saw no temple in it, in the new Jerusalem. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God illuminated it. And the Lamb, Jesus, is its light. And all the nations who are saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall be no means in or anything that defiles or causes an abomination or lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God for the gift of salvation, for the experience of being born again, become a new creation in Christ. That's how we get our name written in that book. And anybody who comes to Jesus can receive the gift of life and have their name also inscribed in that book, so you'll have entrance into that city. So, in between the first chapter of Genesis, the beginning of man, and this ending of the Bible, where we see how it's going to finish up, in between all those pages of the Bible, we have a lot of history. The fall of man, how Adam and Eve sinned, the prophecies about how through Eve's seed, the Messiah would come that would pay the price of sin and reconnect us to God. The New Testament shows the fulfillment of these prophecies. with the supernatural birth of Jesus Christ. And this year we'll be celebrating his 1,983rd birthday. Well, that's my own figures. But if you take his age when he died, 33, subtract it from 2016, you come up with 1983 years. So do the math. It works out. I checked it several times. but then also in the New Testament, we have the birth of the church and the early history of the church and the directions that God gives us of how to live and move with God. But long before the church was started or before Jesus came to this earth, about 700 years before Christ, the Old Testament's greatest prophet, Isaiah, began to prophesy. He was the best and most accurate prophet in the whole Old Testament. With laser-like precision, he prophesied the birth of Jesus Christ, his death on the cross, his payment for sin. And he, in his book, he also showed all the results of the coming kingdom that are coming. And it's a wonderful book to study. So let's turn to one of his scriptures, Isaiah 7:14. This has become one of the favorite Christmas verses that are always read at this time of year. Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and call his name Emmanuel." Now skipping forward two chapters to chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, and the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end." Man, his kingdom is going to just go and go and go. We've seen the prophecy of Daniel, a stone cut without hands, comes and strikes all the kingdoms of the world, and this stone grows to a kingdom that fills the whole world. It's talking about Jesus. Now, this prophecy was actually fulfilled, and it's recorded in Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. Now, at this stage, Joseph discovers that his fiancée is pregnant. And he knows the child didn't come from him. And he's thinking about this. And verse 20 says, "But while he thought about these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife. For what is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." So all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, "Behold," and then he quotes the verse we read from Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which is translated God with us. Isn't it wonderful to know that God is with us? Hallelujah. "Then Joseph, being aroused from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took to him his wife, and did not know her." In other words, he didn't have a physical sexual relationship with her. And did not know his wife until she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for these scriptures. You know, God so loved mankind that once mankind had sinned and been separated his fellowship from God, he wanted to do something about that. So he sent his only son to die on the cross to make a way of salvation for every person who would receive him. And he took each one of our sins upon himself. And everyone who yields their life to Jesus can receive not only the forgiveness of sins and receive eternal life, but also receive a relationship and a friendship with Jesus. It's so wonderful, not just to be forgiven, but to walk and to talk with God and to know him. But also, it makes us eligible for benefits as child of God, child of the kingdom. There are kingdom benefits that come to every born-again Christian. But many times, Christians don't walk in all the benefits that are available to them. Sometimes they don't know about them, or for whatever reason, they're not partaking part of those benefits. There's righteousness, not just a legal covering that calls us righteous, but actually enables us to start living righteous lives. And then peace. Oh, man. I've known people that were multimillionaires, but they didn't have peace. I've known poor men that didn't have two pennies to rub together, and they had peace. But no matter what situation, God wants to give us His peace in all situations, and joy in the Holy Spirit. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And also, prosperity. He wants to give us His blessings, His prosperity, and gifts of healing and divine health. We're believing this morning that those may be, some may be here this morning, that you need a divine touch of healing from God. And God wants to give you that gift of healing. You know, there's a great darkness that's covering the earth today. And I'm not just talking about Syria and war and all that, but just what's happening in the inner city and what you see on the news and in your neighborhood and maybe even in your own family or own life. There's a great darkness that tries to block out the light of the truth of God's provision for us. This darkness comes from Satan and his dark kingdom. Jesus spoke of how Satan tries to come and to wipe out the light and to destroy. It's a familiar verse. You all know it probably by heart. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief, referring to Satan, does not come except for to kill, to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I, Jesus, have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. God really wants to give us not only His divine life, but He wants to give us His abundance, His provision. The earth and the fullness thereof is His, and He wants to give it to us. Now, after the cross, after Jesus was resurrected, after the church was birthed and the Holy Spirit poured out, we still find Peter warning about the devil's attack. We find in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, Peter warns, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour." And all you have to do is read the newspaper, watch television, or see those that you know about at work or on your street to see the devouring hand of Satan in so many people. Our prophet that we've been talking about, Isaiah, he had another name for Satan. He called him the blacksmith because he forms weapons against us like a blacksmith. We read about it in Isaiah chapter 58, verse 16 and 17. "Behold, I have created the blacksmith." God's taken responsibility for Satan's existence. "I created the blacksmith who blows on the coals in the fire. And he brings, the blacksmith, brings forth an instrument for his work. I have created the spoiler to destroy. But here's the good news. No weapon that he forms against you shall prosper or be successful. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn." We have a part to play in this. "This is our heritage. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, says the Lord." You know, back in Isaiah chapter 9, when we read about a child is born to us, and to us a child is given, we sang a song about that as well. Isaiah also prophesies about a great light that's shining into the darkness, and how that the yoke of Satan, he's prophesying that the yoke of Satan will be broken off of us. Let's read that verse. Isaiah 9, 2 through 4. It said, "The people walked in great darkness." You know, not only was that true before Jesus came, this is a prophecy about Jesus coming, but it's true today. There are people all over, and people close to us, all around us. There's great darkness that people are walking in. The people walked in darkness. They've seen a great light. When we see Jesus, oh, it's wonderful. has seen a great light. Those who dwell in the land of the shadow of death. Remember, Satan is the one who wants to come against us and to try to destroy us. Well, there's some, but it goes on to say, they rejoice before you according to the joy of the harvest. As men rejoice and they divide the spoil. God wants to really, really bless us. these blessings are called what we're calling God's complete gift for you. Not just salvation, but the full package of everything He wants to provide for you. There are many benefits the children of God should be experiencing and enjoying. In one verse, one scripture alone, it names six benefits. Say six benefits.
Six benefits.
Psalm 103, verse 2 through 5 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." And God says, "Don't forget my benefits." He wants us to remember the benefits that He has and for us to experience Him. And the first one in verse 3 says, "Who forgives all your iniquities, all your sins, all your transgressions." He forgives them. Two, heals all your diseases. It's God's will to heal your sickness and your disease. In the fourth verse, it says, the third benefit, He redeems your life from destruction. The enemy is trying to destroy, but God wants to redeem your life from destruction. The fourth benefit, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. You can preach a whole series on that, about the loving kindness and tender mercies of God. In verse 5, the fifth benefit, He says He satisfies your mouth with good things. This talks about not only what you eat. I'm already anticipating the good things I'm going to eat on Christmas Day. But, you know, it's talking about the goodness of life. He said, "I'm going to take you to a land that flows with milk and honey." The goodness of life God wants for us. And the sixth benefit, He wants to renew your youth like the eagles. In other words, He wants to heal us. He wants us to be full in energy and full of strength and zeal. And we can have our strength renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. It's great. So why is it that so many Christians are not experiencing all the complete gifts that God has for them? Well, in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 4, he prophesies that, and it lets us know that there's a yoke or a burden, a bondage that Satan tries to put on every person. But he prophesies that this can be broken off our lives and we can be delivered from the attacks of the enemy. Verse 4 says, "For you have broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian." Now, if we had time, we'd go back to that scripture and show how all that works out. But you can study that yourself. But Isaiah further expands in this yoke of the enemy and the prophecy to break it off of our lives in chapter 10, verse 27. It says, "It shall come to pass in that day that his burden," talking about Satan's burden that he tries to put on us, "shall be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck." And the yoke will be destroyed, the yoke of the enemy will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. It's talking about the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He comes in his power to break off sickness, disease, poverty, discouragement, depression, all the different ways the enemy tries to destroy us. Isaiah, and this is our last verse from Isaiah, later on in chapter 60, verse 2, he talks about the great darkness that's covering the earth. And we see that darkness even today in the world, and deep darkness on the people. But the good news is, the Lord will rise over you, arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. What God wants to do, God actually wants to arise over you. He wants to be over you and deliver you from the darkness of the enemy. to the point that His glory will be seen in you. It should be a point where it's just like the glory of God. Moses' face shone with the glory of God. And the disciples, it said, the leaders, they saw that they had been with Jesus. It should be evident as God is upon your life that you're with God and God is with you. In the New Testament, in Colossians 1:3, he said He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed, or that word means to transfer us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He wants to deliver us. Now, if we've been transferred into Christ's kingdom, why do we sometimes not have peace? Why is there sickness and disease in our life? Why is there a lack of love? And the other fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, kindness, all the fruits of the Spirit. Why is there sometimes financial lack for very necessary things? Well, all of the benefits of God that God wants to give us, there's three things that need to happen before they come into our life. Number one, revelation. You've got to have revelation for every promise of God. You can't get saved if you don't have a revelation you're a sinner and that Jesus is your Savior. You can't be healed if you don't have a revelation of healing. You can't be prosperous if you don't have a revelation of prosperity. Revelation comes, and then right behind it, the grace of God comes in and faith comes in and releases the benefits that God has for you. So we need revelation from the Word. See, there's a lot of promises in the Word of God, and they actually can be divided into conditional promises and unconditional promises. A conditional promise or an unconditional promise means you don't have to do anything to get the promise. You know, like God's love. God so loved the world. Aren't you glad you don't have to qualify some way to get God to love you? That He loves the sinner as well as the saint? That's unconditional. But then there are conditional promises. A conditional promise is you have to meet some conditions before you get the promise. Like when I used to tell the girls, clean up your rooms and I'll take you down for an ice cream. Well, if they didn't clean up the room, they don't get the ice cream. But if they did what I said, then they got the promise. Well, most of the promises of God in the Bible are conditional. There's conditions that are associated around each individual promise. And always, faith is required. It's important to have faith. And we can grow in our faith. There's different levels of faith. There's some people, the Bible says, they didn't have any faith. There's those of little faith. The Bible talks about those who, there's something wrong with their faith. There's something missing in their faith. It talks about those who are growing in faith. It talks about those who are strong in faith. It talks about those who are perfect or mature in faith. And so we're on a journey. And that's another whole preach, how to go from one level of faith to another. But I have good news for you that God wants to give you His faith. You know, remember when the disciples tried to cast a demon out of a boy and they couldn't do it, even though they'd been casting demons out of other people? And then the Lord came and He cast the demon out, and they said, why weren't we able to cast this demon out? And Jesus gave two reasons. He said, your faith was too weak. In the Greek it says it was puny. And then the second one was your prayer life hasn't developed the way it should be. Because He said, this kind won't come out unless except for by prayer and fasting. Now then, I have some very good news for you this morning. I actually had a dream. God gave me a dream while I was preparing for this message, for this service this morning, and for each of you individually, as you want to partake of it. And God said He wanted to radicalize you. Are you ready to get radicalized? Normally we think that is something bad. The word radical means to, especially a change in action, relating or affecting the nature of something. Characterized by a departure from tradition. God wants to take you out of the tradition that you're in and put you into the tradition of the kingdom of God. And it means extreme changes in existing views, habits, or conditions. God wants to change your view of how you look at God and how God looks at you. And so there's four areas, and it's not going to take me long. I'm not going to preach those out in a full thing. I mentioned very briefly. And then we're going to, I believe the Lord wants to do some things in us by His Spirit. He wants to complete His gifts to you by giving you a radical love, His love, radical faith, radical power, and radical healing. So let's mention those four briefly. Radical love. You know, the Bible says God is love. He is love. And He wants to fill you with Himself and with His love. And where His love is in His fullness, in us, it says perfect love casts out all fear. When you have fear, you can't have faith. But when His love comes in, it drives fear out, and we can have faith to receive the blessings of God. So, and the Scripture says that faith works by love. So when we're filled with love, then faith can start working. Hallelujah. And the greater the love of God is in you, the greater His faith can flow in you and through you. True faith expresses itself by speaking and taking action. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says, "Since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak." See, the spirit of faith is we believe, therefore we speak. There's power of life and death in the tongue, the Bible tells us. And we know that by our tongue, our whole life is controlled by where it goes and what happens. James tells us. Now, the Lord said to tell you this morning, very specifically gave me these words, tell him, we don't speak to believe. That's empty. There's no power. But because we believe, we speak, and then faith flows. See, the Bible says that faith without action is dead. You know, if your heart doesn't have any action, you're dead. If your lungs aren't having action and breathing, you're dead. It's the same way with faith. If there's no action, your faith begins to die. So first, we believe in our heart. Then, from the abundance of our heart, Jesus said, we speak. We speak what we believe. And then we take action. Radical love gives life to radical faith, to act and to speak. Radical love causes us to radically pursue the lover of our soul, Jesus. You know, the Word of God says that when you seek me with all of your heart, you'll find me. It's not talking about salvation, because that's so simple that the Bible says not even a child will err therein. I'm talking about finding Him in relationship, talking with Him, Him talking with you, miracles in your life, and experiencing the benefits that He promises to us. So when you find Him, guess what? He will speak to you. And when He speaks to you, He will give you His radical faith that will make you radically obey Him. Because we don't obey out of duty or works, but out of love. And so that causes us to have a radical relationship with God. That's what God wants, to walk and talk with us, even as He did Adam and Eve in the garden. God first radically loved us. He gave His only Son to die for us, die for me, die for you. Jesus so radically loved us, He was willing to come down and become a man. He was the Son of God and in His spirit, and Son of Man in His body. And to this day, He still has flesh. He can still eat. You'll still see the nail prints in His hands. And someday we'll have a glorified body like His. But He died radically for us. We are radically convinced and begin to follow Him, seeking Him and finding Him and knowing and obeying Him because we radically believe in Him. That means that we trust Him. That's faith. therefore we do what he says. And he responds with radical power, radical anointing, which leads to radical miracles in our life. That's how I get all the miracles that I've seen. Hundreds and thousands of people being healed by the power of God. The Lord told me to tell you, if we don't become radical, we'll become more religious. And the more religious we become, the more less we'll see the power of God, and the more we'll die spiritually.
That's right.
That thing told me to breathe. I forgot to turn it off. But with faith, all things are possible. Now then, I want you to receive God's love right now. Just right where you're sitting, not standing up or anything, just close your eyes. It's a gift. You can't get a gift if you won't receive a gift. Just close your eyes. God wants to give you his love. Just receive it. Let him love you. Father, pour out your love upon us right now. You poured it out through your Son, Jesus, and you poured it out by your Spirit. We receive your love, Jesus. We receive your love, Father. And he wants to give you a radical faith. He wants to increase your level of faith. He wants to take you to a new level. Are you ready to go? If you are, receive it. Just right now, just say, Lord, I receive your faith. Thank you, Father, for giving me your faith. Increase my faith, Lord. Take me to a new level of faith. Lord, we receive as individuals and as a church your radical faith to take us to a new level. And of course, that leads us to radical power. We all know the scripture that says, after that the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we receive power. You shall receive power. And that power shall break the yoke of the enemy. That anointing shall break the yoke of the enemy, Satan, where he's been trying to hold you back and hold you down and come against you and fight you in your personal life, in your family life, in work, finances, every area. Thank you, Lord, for your radical power to change our lives, to become more like you. And then there's radical healing. Don't forget, he said, all of my benefits. And one of them was healing. I heal all. And in the Greek, or in the Hebrew, that word means all. I heal all your sickness, all your diseases. That's what God wants to do. Remember, Jesus said, thy will, taught us to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's not going to be any sickness or disease or pain in heaven. And right now, on earth, that's what his will is for our lives. I was sharing this morning just for a brief moment. I was talking with a sister. She's got the pin in her leg. And I remember when I was praying for somebody, they'd been in a car accident and her ankle had been broken and crushed. And they put her all back together with pins and screws, and she was in agony of pain. She came up for prayer, and I had her sit down, and I took her foot in my hands and began to pray for her, and the pain stopped. And oh, she was so happy. I still had her foot in my hand. I said, but it feels awful stiff. I didn't know that she had pins and screws and all sorts of things in there that was making her so stiff. I said, Lord, loosen this up in the name of Jesus. And she screamed. I was kind of helping it a little bit. And I thought, oh no, I've hurt her. And she screamed. No, she wasn't screaming in pain. She was screaming with delight. All of a sudden, her foot was moving perfectly. To this day, I don't know whether God took the pins out or put universal joints in the pins. but she was healed. And we could spend the morning, I could literally spend the morning talking about miracle after miracle after miracle that God has done. It's part of the benefits. It's part of his complete Christmas package that Jesus came not only to save us. Oh, thank God for that. Who'd want to not be saved? Who'd want to be in perfect health and be the richest person in the world but go to hell? Nobody wants that. Thank goodness for forgiveness, for salvation. Oh, thank you, Lord, for saving us. Thank you for giving us your peace and your joy and your love. Thank you for radical faith, Lord, radical love, radical power, radical healing. And he's here. His presence is here right now. And he told me, I want to give them my love. He told me, I want to give them my faith. He told me, I want to give them my power. He told me, I want to give them my healing. He's here. You know, Christmas is all about presence. His presence. Lord, you are here. I thank you. You promised whenever we gathered in your name that you would be in our midst in a very special way to touch us, to encourage us, to teach us, to heal us, to bless us. And you're here now. And I thank you that you're doing these very things right now. And Lord, I thank you that there are those here today that you want to heal in a number of ways. Some of you, God wants to heal you in your heart. He wants to take pain out of your heart, disappointment out of your heart. Let him do it right now. He's here by his Spirit to take away disappointment, replace it with joy, to take away sorrow, to give you the joy of the kingdom, to take away depression, fear of the future, uncertainty, because we can be certain in you, Lord Jesus. But he's also here to heal physical bodies that need to be healed. I just thank God for his presence here. And I believe that he does want to move. He does want to heal.